Listen to God's word from the book of Matthew. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dave. So we are in our series entitled A Life of Meaning, and today I want to talk about the joy of giving. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we come before you and we ask at this time that this ancient text would be illuminated so that we can see its relevance and its application in our lives today. May this ancient story be our story. And we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So today, for the next hour, I'm going to talk about the joy of giving in secret. Just looking to see if anyone didn't get that. Okay, so when talking about generosity, I got to talk about my mom. My mom is an extremely generous person with her friends and her family, but she is especially generous with people that she sees as people in need. Growing up in New York City, there's tons of homeless people, and so my mom just couldn't say no. If they asked her for a dollar, and if she had it, she would just give it to them. One morning, it was a Saturday morning, I was sleeping in, you know, it was during the school year. I get a knock on our front door, and I'm thinking, oh, who's like knocking on the front door on a Saturday morning? And it was my mom, and I thought, huh, that's weird. It's like, how come she didn't just come in? Well, anyway, I was tired, so I went back to sleep. Later on, my mom told me that she'd gone out to church early in the morning for early morning prayer. The church is like less than a mile away, so she went to pray, and on her way back home from church, you got to pass through this park, and that park is in the mornings, it's always filled with homeless people just sleeping on the benches and in all kinds of corners. And my mom saw a homeless person sleeping on a bench, and she said they just looked cold and miserable. So she just took the coat off that she was wearing, she just put it on them. And she came home, and then she realized that she left her house keys, car keys, and church keys in that coat pocket. So she went back to the park, back to the bench to try to say, you can keep the coat, but I need my keys back, and the person was gone. And so she looked around for a little bit, but she couldn't find them. So finally, she came back home, and she sheepishly knocked on the door, and that's why she didn't have her key to get in. Now, here's the thing. If my mom hadn't lost her keys, then I would have never known what she did. And that's just the type of person she is. My mom is the type of person to give whatever she had to whoever she needed. We never had a lot of money. So like if the homeless shelter needed bed sheets, she would raid our linen cabinet. If they needed towels, she would get towels. She would regularly pick up hitchhikers, much to the anxiety of me and my dad. My mom is a hairstylist in another lifetime, and she used to give haircuts to homeless people free of charge before it was like a cool hipster thing to do nowadays. She's doing it like 30 years ago. That's just the type of person she was. She never talked about it. She was never looking for recognition. She never brought attention on herself. She never went to church and told people what she did. She rarely told me and my dad what she did. She did it because she found incredible joy in giving of herself to those people in need. And that joy that she felt didn't come from recognition from other people. The joy was a secret joy that she felt between herself and God. And that's what Jesus talks about in our scripture reading today. He says, do not announce your act of righteousness with trumpets in the streets and in the synagogues. Here's the thing. When you do a good deed, when you do an act of righteousness, whether you give something to charity or you serve or you go on a missions trip, the deed or the gift that you give is always good. Regardless of your motivations and your intentions, the act, the gift is always good. But when you start announcing it to people and you start bringing attention to yourself, there can be some unintentional negatives to even that act of righteousness. Because sometimes when we start talking about what we did and we bring attention to, oh, you know, I gave this or I did this, we can actually take away from the cause. We can take attention away from the cause and we bring it to ourselves. So I grew up in the church, and in the churches I grew up in, they're always sending people out to missions trips. And from the time I was a youth, I was always going on missions trips. And I don't know about you, but there is always one person on the missions trip, and there's nobody like this at Brighton, but there's always one person on the missions trip when they're down there in a foreign country or like in the inner city or something, they don't do any work. Like they do like 5 minutes of work and then they take like a 30-minute water break, right? They don't do any work. But when they come back to the church and people ask, how's the trip? They're going on and on about all the great work that we as a team did, right? Now, whatever 5 minutes of work they did, it's work. It's good. But there's an underlying motivation, and I'm not really judging. This is just my assessment. But it's kind of like this. When you see somebody doing something like that, then you have to question, what was the motivation behind going and doing that service project or that act of charity? Was it really to help the cause, or was it intentionally or unintentionally, was it just a resume builder? Look, I'm spiritual. I do spiritual things. I do things that, you know, a good Christian is expected to do. And they bring attention to themselves. And they're taking away attention from the cause that actually needs that attention. The other thing, the next negative of bringing attention to ourselves, and this one came from my wife. I was talking with her about this sermon, and she brought up two really good points. She said, when we bring attention to our acts of righteousness, it can create a hierarchy of haves and have-nots. So, for example, let's say there's a person at church and they need someone to help them pay the electricity bill. So I whip out my checkbook and I write them a check and I cut them a check and say, here, pay your electricity bill. It's an act of righteousness. It's a good deed. But this person, every time they see me, they're going to feel indebted to me. They're going to feel like I am the beneficiary, he is the benefactor. It creates this weird sense of the giver is up here and the recipient is down here, and it creates this weird dynamic between those who are able to give and those who are receiving. And somehow that doesn't seem very Jesus-like. And so to hammer the point home, my wife gave me another example. She said, Paul, what if somebody gave you $1 million to your church? How would you feel? And I said, that would be great. I'd increase my salary or something. And she said, but wait, this person that gave you $1 million, now they start asking you for all kinds of favors. What do you do? And I said, well, I'm going to do those favors. And my wife said, absolutely, because now they own you. Because when there is this person, one person giving to another person, it creates an imbalance of who you are. It creates levels and hierarchies. But when you give so that your right hand doesn't know from your left, then the recipient, they just know that there is a generous person out there. They feel incredibly blessed. They don't have to feel like a second-class citizen. And for the person that was able to give, they know that there's nobody, that they know that person out there isn't looking at them and just feeling sheepish and shy and eternally grateful. They know that they can just treat them one-on-one as a brother and sister in Christ. But here's the interesting thing. The word giving that's used in our scripture reading today, it's actually not the best translation. In verse 2 and verse 3, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, he says, don't do it and draw attention to yourself. But the Greek word isn't actually give. The Greek word is poeo. And poeo doesn't actually mean to give. Poeo, it means to make. So when you make something for those who are needy, poeo, it means to produce. When you produce something for the needy, what poeo means to act rightly. So when you do the right thing, when you see somebody in need, here's an interesting one. Poeo means to celebrate. When you celebrate with those who are in need. And let me tell you, you can't celebrate with those in need unless you have a connection with them. And finally, poeo means to keep promises. When you keep your promises with those in need, don't bring attention to yourself, but do it in secret, and then your heavenly Father will reward you. See, acts of righteousness, it's not just about how much money I give or what kind of items do I donate to a particular charity. When you're doing something for those in need, you may not have money, but you have your time, your energy, you have your resources. Each and every single person sitting here has a specific, unique gift and a talent that you do better than the other 200, 300 people here. And when you give that to somebody in need, that is a gift of righteousness. It's not just about how much you give or what you give. It's not just about the quantifiable things. It means going beyond calculated acts of charity, and it means living in connection with those in need. And it means celebrating the small victories that those people in need have. It means celebrating not only you giving something, it means celebrating when they receive something as well. That's what Jesus is really talking about. In closing, I want to talk about what it means to give in secret, because you're sitting here thinking, okay, like I want to experience the joy of giving. I want to experience that. But giving in secret is a little tricky. It's easy to give and say, oh, here, this is for you, and that person says, oh, thank you. To give in secret, it takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of creativity. And I'll give you an example. I did youth ministry for 8 years, and in the beginning, when I used to do youth ministry, when we would have these big events, like summer trips or summer camps, they would cost money. And I would want all the youth group kids to go, so I'd say, look, it's going to cost like $200, $250 bucks. I want all of you to go, but if your family is struggling financially, come up to me, and we'll hook you up with a scholarship, and you'll be able to go, and everything will be great. And I thought I was doing the right thing by, you know, offering that scholarship. But what I realized is that for those young men and women who were coming from a family that was struggling financially, they had a sense of pride. They didn't want to come to the pastor and say, yeah, my family's poor, we can't pay this, I really want to go. They didn't want to be that kid going on scholarship. And so I realized that they would, you know, make excuses and say, oh, yeah, I didn't want to go anyway. Oh, I'm busy, I'm doing other things. And some of our youth group students were sort of slipping through the cracks. And so, like several years ago, myself and some of our youth staff volunteers, we devised these whole elaborate schemes to get as many kids to integrate into the youth retreat. So we started coming up with bogus competitions. So, for example, I'd say, I just need 3 volunteers to come up here and just dance silly. And whoever dances the silliest is just getting a free ride to the youth retreat. And so, you know, I would randomly pick like 3 people, and we'd play music and just have them do something silly and say, oh, congratulations, you're the winner. You just want a free ride to the youth retreat. You know, it's worth like $250 bucks, and they'd feel great because they're being honored and celebrated in front of all the kids. It wasn't an act of charity. It wasn't a scholarship. It was giving them an opportunity to pay their own way to go to the retreat. And we'd come up with silly things like, oh, today, you know, randomly, whoever's wearing the most green today is going on the youth trip for free. And, you know, like the kid who's wearing the most greenest would come up and we'd say, you didn't know, but you just won this thing. It takes a little bit of creativity to give secretly. And I think, you know, there's tremendous, tremendous joy when you're able to give so that your right hand doesn't know from your left. You know, our church is an incredible body of people that perform acts of righteousness, both individually and communally. I've been here a little over a year, and I've just seen incredible acts of righteousness, incredible gifts of time, energy, resources, and service. And you know what? I don't really have any challenges to make this morning. I don't have any admonishments. I don't have any finger wagging for anyone. But I want to say this. Continue being a generous church. Keep doing it. But if you really want to experience a level of joy that you haven't, that you're not experiencing right now, think of creative ways to give so that your right hand doesn't know from your left. And if you're thinking to yourself, my gosh, I'm not a creative person, I don't have time to think about this creativity, then come see me. I can think of all kinds of ways to creatively give away your time, energy, and resources. And if I'm not there, Pastor Sherry, she's going to come up with all kinds of creative ways as well. Amen.
I invite you to pray with me. Great God of abundance, we give you thanks for the abundance in our lives. Oh, compared to some, maybe we aren't living such an abundant life. But we know that we have from you resources that keep us comfortable. We have friends and family. We celebrate that we have gifts and talents and stories of how those gifts and talents and skills have helped us in this life. And we are so thankful to you. And we understand that all we have is from you. And we give you all praise. This morning we're also thinking about places where we have lived with an understanding of scarcity, that there isn't enough and I'll keep what's mine, in times when we could have lived in abundance. And so we ask you to open our hearts now and help us in creativity to be a people who know abundance and want to share our time, our talents and skills, our resources in creative ways that give you glory. Lord, we understand that you are the one who reigns in this world and reigns for all times, and we desire to live in your reign fully as your people. And so guide us. Guide us in a way that gives you glory. Guide us in a way that makes a transformational difference for people who surround us and people we don't even know. Guide us in a path that keeps us in humility, that leads us in generosity, that helps us to live as you have created us to live. And Lord, this day we also remember those, our brothers and sisters in churches and the faithful around the world, who are acting in ways that serve the needy, who are offering time and resources so that your world might be a better place to live. And we ask that you might be present and bless all of those efforts. And now, we ask an individual prayer, Lord, for those who are hurting in this world, those we know by name and those we don't, those struggling in ill health, those in chronic pain, those who struggle through addiction and mental illness, those who are in struggling in broken relationships in this moment. We lift them to you now in our silent prayers. Lord, in Jesus, We find gentleness. We find generosity. We find compassion and care. Help us to walk in that way in your name. We ask all of this as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.